give them a big City Church welcome.
Give it up for Jesus, everyone in this room. Stand with me, please, for just a moment. Before you get back to your seat, I want you to go to three people and say, "You're beautiful. I see Jesus in you. Thanks for sitting near me," and give them a great big hug. Would you do that, please? "You're beautiful. I see Jesus in you. Thanks for sitting next to me." Then you may be seated, please. Pastor Marty, Patty, it is such a privilege. We became friends in Phoenix, and I'm usually at the pastor's conference every year. They've allowed me to speak several times at Phoenix First and about 29 times at the Dream Center. And I think it was I was sitting on the second row, and they were on the third row, and I turn, you know, sometimes turn around and say hi to somebody and be nice. They might be important. And today, one of the things to get to meet all their family and you. And this morning, I was meeting grandkids. How many of you have grandkids? I'm glad you didn't kill your children because of them. When I was seeing his one granddaughter, I was reminded of the story of the grandfather who was holding his granddaughter. And she kept touching his face and looking at her hand. She'd touch his face and look at her hand and say, "Grandpa, what? Did God create you?" "Yeah, he did. Several years ago." She touched his face and looked at her hand. "Grandpa, what, baby? Did God create me?" "Yeah, not long ago." "Grandpa, what? I think he's doing better work." How many understand what I just said? I'm glad that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many are thankful you're in the presence of God today? Would you lift both hands toward heaven where you are right now and just say, "Jesus, you're beautiful. I see God the Father in you." And would you just worship him for a moment? Would you lift your voice? Come on, somebody lift your voice. Somebody tell him he's worthy today. Somebody exalt him. "Worthy is the Lamb of God. We exalt you, Almighty God. You are a holy God. You are a victorious God. You are a God of supernatural breakthrough. Your power is in this place." Would you lift your voice and just help me? As they did in the book of Acts, they lifted up their voice. And when they did, the power of God fell in that place. Lord, we love you and we magnify you today. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Praise you, Jesus. We exalt your holy name. When I return home on Tuesday, this coming Wednesday, I will have left home 4 weeks ago. In those 4 weeks, I have been close to being on 4 different continents, flown nearly 30,000 miles, spoken Africa, Europe within 10 miles of Asia, and here in the United States, just preached in the largest Church of God church on the African continent in Malawi for a pastor school that was at an orphanage. While I was there, they stole my heart. I went into a room. The team was preparing boxes, and I said, "What is this for?" And they said, "Oh, for the birthday party, 121 orphans." They said, "Well, we have all of their birthdays on one day." And I said, "Well, how do they feel on their birthday?" Have you ever had somebody say something that they didn't intend it to be moving? She looked at me and said, "They don't know what day they were born. None of them know who their parents are. So we just have one birthday for all of them on one day." You know, I don't know about you, but when things like that come at me, I just don't even know how to handle it. And we were doing the National Youth Conference for the Nation of Russia. Just before I preach, I want to show you. I have been to the nations of the former Soviet Union 108 times. When speaking at ORU recently, the head of the missions department said to me, 5 months of your life have been on planes between Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Moscow. Through Book of Hope in the nations of the former Soviet Union, 100 million children have received the Word of God. Somebody give the Lord a clap offering for that. When I went to Russia in 1992 and 91, they had 65 churches in 10, 11 time zones and about 179 million people. 65 churches. Today, there are 2,200 churches that are registered, 1,100 that are unregistered. We're growing at 1 to 2 new churches a day. If you think that's extraordinary, we're believing God by 2020, we will have 10,000 churches in Russia, Spirit-filled, Spirit-empowered churches. And if we accomplish that goal by the grace of God, there will still be 100,000 cities in Russia that have no church. When you understand the desolation and yet the hunger, and there's one area in the 22 years and nearly 24 million people that I have spoken to across that nation in person and by television. When you consider the realities of what is happening there, I have been told again and again, stay out of Moscow. Number one, the government will not like it. And Moscow is called around the world the graveyard of church plants. In central Moscow, it is one of the three most expensive places in the world. Moscow's wealth, there are more billionaires in Moscow than any city in the world. Detail that I find very unusual. Women spend more money on shoes in Moscow than any city in the world. I know you thought that might be Manhattan, but they're not number one in that area. And downtown Moscow, central Moscow, in many ways is the same attitude as if you were at Wall Street. People don't give you the time of day. You find great wealth. And yet if you go 100 miles outside, it's like you're going 100 to 200 years back. And the hospitals 100 miles outside of Moscow are more antiquated than hospitals in third world countries in Africa. It is one of the most diverse nations. And yet when you consider downtown central Moscow, in the year 1920, there were 20,000 churches in that area. Today there are less than 2,000, and most of those churches, probably less than 10 of them, are active. Most of them are museums. The Billy Graham organization tried to plant churches there, and when they did, all 48 failed. And it wasn't because of the competency of Billy Graham. It is because of the competency and the problems of such an intense environment consumed with finances. How many know God loves not only the down and out, He loves the up and out? How many know God wants to raise up a witness everywhere on this planet? And so we went there this past January 6th and 7th, central Moscow, across the street from the first McDonald's. They told us not to expect more than 250 people, and we would be lucky to get that. How many of you know nothing is impossible with God? I want you to watch the 2-minute video of what God did in January in Moscow. Thank you.
исцели все мое тело.
I love you, Jesus.
Я люблю тебя, Иисус.
You're my Lord and Savior.
Ты мой Господь и Спаситель.
Thank you, Jesus.
Спасибо, Иисус.
Praise you, Jesus.
Хвала тебе, Иисус.
Give the Lord a clap offering.
И давайте мы поблагодарим Иисуса.
Put your hands together.
Рукоплескание.
Hallelujah.
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 Would you give the Lord a clap offering for his miraculous power? And in that building right now, since January, there is a new church and is running 250 to 300 every week in church. That's something to really clap for right there, a new church plant. To understand what you saw, that conference and crusade cost right at $146,000. I could do that in Siberia for $30,000. But it is because of what God is doing in that city and just the cost of rooms. What God is doing around the world in this day is extravagant. It is extraordinary. It is what has led me to the message that I want to share with you today. I want to speak to you today on Go Big, Believe. Everyone say, go big. Everyone shout, believe. So if I say go big, you shout. Oh, very good. This side is with me. Did you hear this side over here? Let's try again. Go big. Now, I want you to get this down inside of you. You could call it think big, believe. Because when you become a child of God, everything inside of you changes. I want to ask you today, are you a Jesus thinker? When you look through your eyes at the world, does it reveal the heart of God in every circumstance, with every person, place, or thing? Jesus comes to reveal the power of his life as the way. His death opens the way. His resurrection makes finalized and brings victory to the way. And the power of his Spirit moves us into an action that moves the church from behind locked doors and closed doors, where God comes to every part of life. For Jesus Christ is constantly living a life of going and gathering, going and gathering. It is based on, and when you follow his life, he constantly is asking people to come and to belong. And as they belong, they begin to see who he is, and they begin to believe. And as they believe, it changes their behavior. All around going and gathering, giving, receiving, believing. Each one of us are called to enter into this understanding of believing. We live in an hour that is trying to place believers into a box, telling us if you stay inside that box, it's all right. We'll love you. We'll respect you. But when you begin to bring the Christ to every road of life, to everywhere in life, where you bring his thinking, his presence, his power into every situation, he can become the God of this box that we call a church. But if this is a church, Jesus Christ will be brought to every road, every person, every house. In Russia, we have developed what they call the Hosanna plan. It's crazy. Now I'm talking about Russia. We're believing God by the year 2020 that every Russian on a one-to-one basis will hear a message of invitation to come to Jesus. You go, that's impossible. We thought it too. Right now, we're only up to reaching 5.2 million people every year in Russia, in their homes,
on the streets, in their schools, on their jobs, hearing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is not dead. He is alive. And by the power of the Holy Spirit wants to invade their world. Oh, by the way, 2 million people a year right now are praying the sinner's prayer. How many know our God is not dead? He is alive. And He is a church on fire believing for the power of God. I love the words of Paul the Apostle in the book of Romans when he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto those who believe, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You know, when you're reading the book of John, it's like you're reading the good news of the Gospels through the eyes of Jesus. When you read the Acts of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament church, it's like you're reading the Gospels through the eyes of God the Holy Spirit. But when you come to the book of Romans, the book of Romans is as if you're reading the good news of the Gospels through the eyes of God the Father. But please hear me, it is through the eyes of the eternal, everlasting judge. Now, the book of Romans is written like a legal document. It is written almost differently from every book of the Bible. Many of the words that are used in the book of Romans are legal terms that can be used in a court of law. Now, usually when you see a legal document, it has been prepared by a lawyer for his client. His client has two ways of being represented by his lawyer. One is the letter of the law, the other is the spirit of the law. If his client is guilty, and that is obvious, then he will, as an attorney before the court, begin to talk about circumstances, people, places, and things. And he will portray before the court that they need to give mercy, and to understand there were extenuating circumstances. Perhaps, as we've heard many times, that there's mental disorders, physical disorders, slavery, bondage, whatever. But then there's the other point where he believes his client is innocent. In those places, he will lift up the letter of the law. He will say, this is what the law says. This is what my client did. He did not break the law. But you've got to get this. Romans is not about Paul the Apostle representing us before God. Paul is writing a letter from the jury, judge, and courtroom of heaven to everyone. And what he says is, we are guilty before that day in both the letter of the law and in the spirit of the law. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every human being that has ever lived but one, when they stand there on that day, when they go to plead their case, we are in trouble if it is not by the righteousness of the blood of Jesus. We will have no right standing before God. But how many are thankful? 2,000 years ago on the cross, Jesus opened the way for time and eternity to set men and women free. How many of you today, your name is written there? You have something to shout about. You have something to praise about. You've got something to give. How many know God is in this house this morning? Open your Bibles to the book of Romans, please. The book of Romans, the 10th chapter. Would you stand with me in honor of God's word? And I want you to follow with me. Open up your iPhone, your iPad, or go old school and open up a Bible. Don't you love being in a day that there's no way you can keep the Bible out of anywhere? You go through security and they go, on this right here, I have at least 25 different versions of the Bible. On my laptop, I don't know how many are there. Just walk right through customs. That's my computer. How many are thankful you can carry the word with you everywhere these days? Romans 10, beginning at verse number 6, and I want you to follow. The words here are very important. But the righteousness, right standing before God. But the righteousness that is by faith says, now get this, right standing by God speaks to you by faith, hearing, trusting, and obeying. What does it say? Do not say in your heart, you're going the wrong way if you do this. Who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down? Or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead? Two very powerful things. Number one, it's talking about future events. And number two, the keeping of the law. When he says, who will ascend into heaven to bring Christ down? He is saying, no future human achievement will save you. Nice looking crowd this morning. We all have common traits, common characteristics. But each one of us have special characteristics. That means there are things we can do that nobody else can do. And the problem is when you have special giftings and you think you somehow deserve them. Now, when you stand before God and you look up and say, God, you can't send me to hell. I cured cancer. What if you stand before God and say, God, I cured world hunger. How are you going to send me to hell? And God's going to look at you and go, you didn't cure cancer. You didn't cure world hunger. I cured it. I put it inside of you before you were born. See, our human achievements are a part of our spiritual DNA. You got an IQ of 180? God bless you. I wished I was with you. Some of you need to say amen with me. Don't act like you're the ones over there with them. You know, you begin to go, it's a grace thing. Your human achievements will mean nothing on that day. Because you will realize everything you ever did of any good came from the giver of good. And if on that day you look at God and go, hey God, listen, don't descend into the deep to bring Christ up. I kept the law. I did what was right. I paid my bills on time. I loved my wife. I got out of bed every morning, went to work. I clothed my children. God, I never even kicked the dog. God's going to look at you and say, you're a family person. Oh, yes, sir. I am too. And for me to let you into heaven would mean I'd have to let you walk over and spit on my own son. What the Bible is talking about is clear. We don't want to talk about this today. We want to put Jesus in a box. Bring him out for a few moments and then put him back. We must understand that God is raising up a generation of Jesus thinkers. In every situation, they see things, they understand things that other people don't quite get. Let's finish what it says from verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified. It is with the mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. As you're leaving this morning, there is a resource table. It only has a few things on it. One of it is Burning Bush by Dr. Gary Brothers. On the back of it is my opinion. When I read this book, it was so life-changing. It was at a point in my life that my son was in trouble, came close to leaving the faith. When I gave this book to my son, by the time he finished, it transformed his life, and today he's a mighty man of God. When you go by, it's just $10. Also, back there are four bookmarkers. One is on healing, one is on the Holy Spirit, one is on the Word, and the other is on peace. There is no charge for these. We give them away. Please go by and pick them up. Don't let any of them be left. On the table, there is a little basket.
put a donation in there for any of these. If you can't afford it, fine. Anything comes in that basket helps us pay for airfares. Father, I thank you for everyone here. Give us wisdom over the next few moments to speak your word, and we'll praise you for it, Jesus. Amen. Everyone, please be seated. Take out a piece of paper and a pen. I want to give you some thoughts. Please remember, where you belong develops what you believe, and what you believe will determine your behavior. Let me repeat that again. Where you belong develops what you believe, and what you believe will determine your behavior. And get this, if your behavior is in conflict with what you believe, you will change where you belong. Christianity starts at the point of where you belong. Almost every person that followed Jesus came to him out of this extraordinary thing of him asking, come on, belong, hang out. And it wasn't long until they would begin to believe, because your thoughts develop your attitudes. Your attitudes direct your decisions, and your decisions determine your destination, your action. Everything in life starts with the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good person from the treasure of their heart brings forth good things. Above all things, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. Now you've got to get this. Your heart is huge. But to release what is in your heart comes through the power of believing. Now, when we use the word believing in our modern vernacular, what we usually mean by that is, I accept that. And this morning and last night, I got to hang out with Garrett. Extraordinary young man. When I grow up, can I be tall, thin, blonde-headed, and good-looking? Just a prayer. If he says something to me, let's see, what's the name of that little football team over in Buffalo? Oh, the Bills, yes. He says to me, the Bills are going to win the Super Bowl. Now, being from Oklahoma, and I say, I believe that. Okay, how do I go next? What I'm saying is I accept that. But that don't mean I believe it. See, believing is deeper. If you understand it just in the English vocabulary, believing means to hold dear. It means to have faith in or faith on. You can even love it, but what is here in the Bible is deeper than that. When you hear this word believe that Paul is talking about and is constantly throughout the Word of God, the best way to understand it is from these words. When Paul says, I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. Believing wasn't just something that happened at salvation. Salvation is not distant, it is near. It is not inaccessible, but readily available. It's as near as your heart and your mouth, and is to be accessed on every level of every minute of every day. For believers to become Jesus thinkers, to go big. Oh, very good. Go big. Now, when you see these words, I know. We find the word know first in the book of Genesis in a different form, where it says, Adam knew Eve and gave birth to their first child. Mary in the New Testament, the first time we find the word. How can this be, seeing I never knew a man? This word know or knew is talking about the covenant relationship of a man and woman in marriage, where they have made a contract before God, where they will forsake all others and enter into a relationship of intimacy, where they will give and surrender their lives for each other till the day they die. And that intimacy is so pure that it has the power to give birth to life, a child. Now let's go through there again. I know whom I have believed. When you're saying you're believing in God and you're a follower of Jesus, you're not saying, well, I accept that he lived, that he died, that he rose from the dead.
You're not saying the factor, well, I hold dear the teachings of Jesus. Oh, I have faith in. When you are a believer, you are a person that says, I have entered into a covenant relationship before all the world and before God, that I believe He is not dead, He is alive, He is the Son of the living God. I believe it to the point I will put my life on the line. I have surrendered to Him and He to me. I am in Him, He is in me. I will forsake all others. I will no longer follow the ways of this world. I will follow Him who is at the right hand of the Father. How many of you believe today? He is God, Jehovah. He is mighty. He is holy. He is victorious. And to Him alone do I belong. Now let me give you five things to write down this morning about the heart. Number one, believing in Jesus Christ opens the heart of faith. Now, there's things that we say that we don't fully understand the picture of what we mean. We tell people, invite Jesus into your heart. When you invite Jesus into your heart, He says, this is a lousy place to live and I'm going to get rid of this heart. Do you realize when you become a Christian, it's not about Jesus entering your heart, it's about Jesus removing your heart. Ezekiel says that our heart is cold, dead, stiff, a stone. Now, think about this a minute. For heart transplant to take place, you have to take the heart out of one person and put it in another person that you've taken their heart out of. When you come to Jesus, and please write this down, believing is surrendering. Everyone out loud say that with me. Believing is surrendering. You are surrendering your old heart to God and literally asking Him to take out that old, cold, dead stone of a heart and put His heart in you, where your heart becomes His heart. And when you are surrendering, you are surrendering all of your past and all that you are. If you're going to be a Jesus thinker, Jesus was someone who said, I am in the Father and the Father in me. And the words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Number one, believing in Jesus Christ opens the heart of faith. Number two, believing in Jesus Christ gives direction to the heart of faith. And underneath that put, believing is receiving. If you open up your life to Christ, but there is no direction, you become like a river without banks. You become a swamp. Let me even be more descriptive. If you don't have direction through the power of the Word and the power of the Holy Spirit in your heart becomes a cesspool for all of the junk of life. See, I watch it again and again. People will come forward because you can't help but respond to Jesus' love. And they go, where are they? Because they live an entire week with no direction. When you get a new heart inside of you, you've got to begin to use that heart. You've got to have direction to that heart. We live in a day where the church in America's heart is so protected that we don't use it from day to day because we've never learned to hear the voice of God in our heart. Number three, believing in Jesus Christ, wow, is a word-filled heart of faith. Now, I asked this in the first service. I'm going to explain to you. I'm going to ask you a question, and in advance, I'm going to tell you, please do not lift your hand. If you do, people will know you weren't listening or you're asleep. How many of you here, since January 1 of 2015, have not had a bite of food or anything to drink? Would you please lift your hand? How come we're so smart with our belly and so dumb with our hearts? When I came out of the hotel this morning, I had a McMuffin with sausage and eggs. Nothing healthy about it. But my stomach was very happy. If you
few moments ago, I had yogurt and fruit, and my mouth was very happy. And I'm hoping I preach good enough in a few moments that Pastor will take me for more good food. And tonight I'm eating at Pastor's house with the family. I came in acquaintance and I'm becoming family. You know why? I am 198 pounds and I stand 6 foot tall. This Fitbit says, without much effort, I walk somewhere between 5 and 8 miles a day, and I am hungry all the time. And I have become an expert at knowing what to put in my mouth. Last night we had Asian General Tao's chicken. There was revival on that plate. Woo! And the hot peppers weren't enough for Pastor. He brought, had him bring out stuff that kicked it up even more and wanted me in on the fire. How many of you realize what you put in your mouth will show up on your body? And you got to get this. Your heart is massive. Your heart is bigger than your mind. Your mind has limitations that your heart doesn't have. You can be the smartest person in this room, but you have limits upon your mental capabilities. You can be the smartest person in the world. If you didn't have mental limitations, you'd be God. Do you realize your heart is so big, you can take the entire world, put it inside your heart. You can take the entire universe, and you're empty. There's only one thing that can fill the heart, and this is why. When you receive the heart of God, your heart becomes the bridge between the seen world and the unseen world. Your heart has an ability, the breastplate of righteousness. Inside of you, you can walk into places and your heart can make. Now, I'm not talking about your feelings. Feelings are a part of your heart, but your heart is bigger than your feelings. It's bigger than your mind. Inside of you is a dimension. You can walk into places and you can begin to see people bound in dimensions that they're scared you will even see it. This past week, a couple that I know and I love them, she said, "Do you remember the night I met you?" I said, "No." She said, "Well, I met you, but you didn't meet me." I said, "What are you talking about, Linda?" She said, "You were preaching in Grand Rapids, place is full. You walked down and said, 'This aisle has sin in it.'" I went, "I didn't do that." She said, "Yes, you did, and you know you were crazy when you were young." She said, "I was living in fornication and standing there, and you kept describing sin, and I was a Catholic, and I was scared to death. I'm going, 'God, get me out of this place. These people are crazy.'" She said, "All of a sudden, a lady fell down and jumped up and said, 'It's me.'" And she said, "Thank you, Jesus." Now, can I tell you something? There are moments in my life that is not a regular thing. But there are moments where all of a sudden something happens in your heart and you will go places. Russia? I want God to call me to Hawaii. Hong Kong. You know what's horrible? I never met a Russian before I got off the plane. When I got off the plane in Russia, somebody walked up to me and started speaking Russian. And I went, "English?" He goes, "Ruski?" "Yeah." You know, how do you tell them you're a Chickasaw Indian in Russia? Everywhere I go in Russia, people start talking to me in Russian. They think I'm Russian. And I grew up hating Russians. To waste somebody by the color of their skin. But you watch it on movies. And now today, I have watched Russians put their lives on the line between me and soldiers that were ready to kill me. I love them. But until you know them, and when you feed, you've got to feed this heart. You've got to understand it's huge, it's massive. And the more you feed it and the more you use it, it is extraordinary what God can do. Let me give you my last 2 points. Number four. Believing in Jesus Christ is an overflowing heart of faith. Believing in Jesus Christ is an overflowing heart of faith. Now, I want you to take your hand and make it like a fist. This is going to become your heart. Open, close. Open, close. Now, hold it there for a second. Where did we start? Jesus went going and gathering, giving, receiving, giving, receiving.
receiving. Come on, do it. Giving, receiving. Now, giving. Now, do you realize the whole time I've been preaching, your heart is doing that and you're not even thinking? And the more natural your heart has the balance between giving and receiving, the healthier you are. That is the power of the Christian life. If you are not a natural giver, you're not healthy. You hang out with believers, they do things that are crazy. Sometimes they will do it before they even think about it. And the power of it is healthy. Get this. The word holy means wholeness. Whenever you tithe, the Bible tells us that the tithe is holy and the tithe represents the whole. So when you give your first 10% a week to God, do you realize not only is the 10% holy, the 90% is holy. And that means the 90%, now get this, is whole. You take 10%, give it to God, and when you do, God says, I'll take the 90% and make it whole, make it complete. How many of you have ever had months like me that you've had more month than you've had money? And you go, God, no offense, can I give you the last 10% after I pay my bills? And he goes, that's a tip, that's not a tithe. Come on, take your hand, open, close, open, close, open, close, open, close, give, receive, believing is giving. Let's go over these points again. I'm not going to go through the word. Believing is surrendering, believing is receiving, believing is feeding, believing is giving, and believing in Jesus Christ moves to action, the heart of faith. The action is what keeps you healthy. The more the action, the more alive to get up, to move, to do something, to have an action of faith. If you gathered, you give. If you have nothing, you go and gather and give. All of our lives, and it all comes back to believing is surrendering. If you're surrendering, you're bringing Jesus to every road of life. Why? Because your thoughts develop your attitudes. Your attitudes direct your decisions, and your decisions determine your destination, your actions. We talk a lot about actions and very little about the thoughts of the heart. And people go, your heart doesn't think. Well, mine does, because my head is connected to it. You can't separate my head and my heart. They're one. It's all a part of who I am. The heart is just the core. It's not the totality. Keeps everything going and receiving at all times. And by the way, the heart is not only for giving, it is for giving. Your heart is sick if it hasn't learned how to cleanse the blood. And it stops the giving and receiving because you're not forgiving human beings. I almost forgot that because in prayer before the service, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, there is someone in this room that their lives is being destroyed, not by what happened to them, but because their inability to forgive. In this room right now, there's somebody, your life has come to a standstill because you can't forgive of what has been done to you. And you believe if you forgive that it's going to literally create it, the environment again. That's a lie from hell. And let me ask you, are your thoughts right with God? You know, there are those here right now, if you died in the next 2 minutes, you'd be in heaven 10 minutes before the devil knew you were gone. Wow. Then there are some of you, your thoughts aren't right, your attitudes aren't right. Your decisions don't include God first. And you'd like to go, but you got some stuff going on inside of you that's not right. And then there are those here, you know you'd be in hell from what you did last night. This morning. This week. I give altar calls in areas of the world where literally guns are pointed at me.
this past week, and maybe in a moment I'll show you, during the National Youth Conference, there's a little interpreter. She's about this tall. She's behind her back. We call her the little general. She's become extraordinary, but I remember when she used to be the interpreter who watched after me. One night we're going into a building, and there's a soldier, and the communists have gotten mad because we're having bigger crowds than they are. And so they get them to shut us down, and when I go to in, the guy goes to literally shoot me, and she steps between me and the soldier and talks him down. And when we're walking away, she said, "You know, you almost got killed. Michael, sometimes listen to me." And I said, "What just happened?" And she explained. And I said, "Why did you step between me and him?" Now get this. At that time, she was 22 years old. She said, "He kills me, I go to heaven. He kills you, he stops the message." My wife and I think she is one of the most extraordinary human beings. Because of her, that 100 million that I talked about, I received the word. That's not about me. That's what she's done, and she's about that tall. And smart to the bone. See, that's a Jesus thinker. I looked at her and I said, "Don't you ever do that again." She said, "You're not my boss. I'll do what I want to do." Hang out with Russians. They are like that. But can I ask you, are your thoughts right with God? Are your attitudes right with God? Is God first in your decisions, your actions? There are some of you here that are carrying, because of your thoughts, such levels of condemnation and fear and weakness that you can't get in victory because you've never begun to feed your heart. You respond on Sunday, you love Jesus, but then you're just drugged right back in because you've never learned how to feed the faith and starve the flesh. Just a moment, I'm going to count to three. No heads bowed, no eyes closed. Every human being in this room looking around. And if your glasses are dirty, get them clean. If you don't have the courage to lift your hand in here, how are you going to make it out there? Well, the devil says, "Don't be lifting your hand now. We'll deal with this in the car." How many know if the devil can talk you out of responding in here, you're going to be alone in the car with the devil? You need to deal with him now. And you say, "Well, what will somebody think? Is there somebody here that important today?" I'm serious. Is there somebody in this room more important than the voice of God that you're hearing inside of you right now to respond? I'm asking you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in a moment, I'm going to count to three. No heads bowed, no eyes closed. And you don't care what anybody in this room thinks but Jesus. You want to be a Jesus thinker. No other gods before me. When I count to three, will you lift your hand and say, "Michael, I got stuff going on inside of me that's not right. Michael, I'm lost. I'm involved in things that I shouldn't be involved in." When I count to three, do you have the courage to lift your hand, or will you walk out that door and not care? Say this, hear me. We're living in the greatest hour of humanity that God thought we would be strong enough to stand before a world and tell them we serve a God who's not dead. He is alive. I believe in the Son of the living God. Do you have the courage, when I count to three, to lift your hand? Make up your mind now. When I count to three, lift your hand. If you want prayer, I want you to lift your hand right now. 1, 2, 3. Lift it up. Every hand that was lifted, stand to your feet in the name of Jesus, please. If you didn't lift your hand and you should have, stand up. Said it in the first service. Don't make me follow you in the parking lot. I'll follow you home if I have to, and I've done it. Jesus goes to every road. Every man's world. If you're standing, get out of your seat and come to the front right now in the name of Jesus, please. Come quickly. Keep coming in. There's so many. Pastor, thank you for the privilege of being here. Put your hand on your heart, please. Put your hand on your heart. Most of my life, and there's nothing wrong with this statement, I've been taught, don't trust feelings, move by faith. It's a wonderful statement, but what does it mean? Does that mean, now get this, you can just nod your head at me if I'm talking to you, if you understand what I'm talking about. I've been hurt. And whenever I've been hurt, this happens every time, my mind tells me, let me protect you. I'll help you. You're smart. You understand street language, situations. Let me fill you with the wisdom to know how not to get hurt. And what happens is, instead of my heart and the voice of God that has that bridge into the heart of God, my brain begins to create boxes to protect me, because I don't want to get hurt again. I don't want to get abused again. And the hardest thing of faith is when you come to that point, go, if I'm dead, I'm dead. I get to see Jesus. Don't have to change planes into Chicago. I'm going to live my life, not by my feelings, but with an open heart that is hearing God, no matter the pain. That the success of my life will not determine by the absence of pain, but by the obedience to the voice. And I'm asking many of you today who've been hurt, and you've got a mind that's got walls built up all around it. And I'm asking the living God to help you literally shatter those walls of protection. And some of you are very smart, where you almost can get through anything, any deal, any ordeal, and not get hurt. But what you're doing is not faith, it's fear. I'm asking the power of the Holy Spirit to do something inside of us. Oh, Jesus. I'm going to lead you in a prayer in a moment, but I'm going to pray first. Father, I see in the faces fear, condemnation, weakness, doubt. Lord, in the heart, so much pain and unbelief. Father, this is more than just a moment of motivation, but this is a supernatural moment to release inside of every human being in this room the power of the living God. From the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, from the right hand side to the left, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to overwhelm people right now. Lord, let the walls come tumbling down. I don't care about the tears. Lord, let it within them begin to well up the supernatural glory of God. Glory, glory, the glory of the living God upon you and in you, exploding out of you. His power is here. He is real. He is mighty. He is holy. He is victorious. He is inside of you today, here to set you free. More, more, more. Everyone with your hand on your heart out loud, pray, Heavenly Father. Everyone out loud, pray, Heavenly Father. I come in the name of Jesus. I ask you to enter my heart and remove it and put inside of me your heart. I love you, Jesus. You're my Lord and Savior. I don't belong to the devil. I don't belong to the world. I don't belong to myself. I belong to Jesus Christ. He is the Son of the living God. He is the Son of the living God. Would you begin to lift your hands and worship God all across this room? Begin to lift your hands and worship God. Jesus. 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 Open your mouth. Come on, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Open your mouth. Praise Him. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth. This is the moment that the Spirit of God breaks through. Are you breaking through out of your mouth? Come on, church. Open your mouth. Pray. Open your mouth. Pray. Open your mouth. Pray. Pray. Set free. Set free from the bondage of darkness. In no weakness. In the name of Jesus. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. When the doctor says you're going to die, go big. When there's problems in your home, go big. When it looks like you're going to lose your job, go big. When government says things that are wrong or right, go big. How many of you believe it's time to shout unto God with a voice of triumph, to lift up your voice and shout Hosanna? Blessed, blessed, blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on, somebody clap your hands. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. He is worthy, worthy, worthy. Woo! Is that the best clap offering you got for Jesus? Come on, now shout while you clap. Lift up your voice. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Before you go back to your seats, how many of you will pray with me for Russia, for me, for my wife, for my staff? If you got an extra minute, you can even throw in my kids and grandkids. 1 minute a day for the next 6 weeks, and ask God to protect us, give us power, give us favor, provision. You can only give out what you receive in. And at the end of 6 weeks, you may want to pray longer. Last night, Pastor and I were driving along, and I called someone, and I needed something taken care of by a doctor, and this person answered the phone, and Pastor said, "Who is that?" And leading researcher on melanoma cancer. In his church, 8 years ago, on a Sunday morning like this, I asked people to pray 1 minute a day for 6 weeks. At the end of 6 weeks, he's one of those people who marks things off, surgeon. At the end of 6 weeks, he got up the next morning and said, "Well, I've done what Mike asked." God said, "Mike's still in trouble. You better keep praying for him." He has not missed a day. See, I'm grateful for people who pray. But how many of you would give the next 6 weeks, 1 minute a day, to pray for us and pray for the nation of Russia? May I see your hands? Those in the back, can you bring up those two pictures real quick? Just look at the screen a minute. You got them? That's last week, the National Youth Conference. Bring up the other picture. 1,500 from all over the nation. When you go back to your seat, Pastor's going to be kind enough to receive an offering and give you an opportunity to plant a seed. Would everyone do something and ask God to speak to you? In the next 3 weeks, just to deal with the next pastor school that's 3 weeks away, we've got to raise about $22,000. As you plant a seed in Michael French Ministries, would you pray about it? Now hug two people before you get back to your seat and say, "God is in the house."
Ushers, just get ready. You go back. Let's sow a seed. We get to give to the work of the Lord in Moscow. Come on, will you clap your hand for that? That is so awesome. While he was preaching, I went to push pay because it only took about 10 seconds, and I sowed a seed already for it. You can do the same thing. You want to write a check, you can make it out to City Church. Do whatever you want. We're going to give them one check today. But let's sow something. You get to sow. 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 I can't wait to go to heaven someday. I'm going to meet people and say, hey, I'm here because that one morning you did something. Come on down, ushers. We're going to receive this offering. I'm going to dismiss whoever wants to go, but there's one more thing I'm going to do before this evangelist leaves here today. Oh, I got a hunger to see young men and women be used greatly of God. Give to him right now. Father, take this. Use it. We give it by faith. We trust you for the results of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, folks. Thank you so much for your obedience. 40 years ago, I was an 18-year-old kid, broken, lost my sister, my brother, my mother, my father. I was homeless. There was no hope, none. When that evangelist came in, I had been drinking that morning. I was using drugs. I was doing everything. My dad was a raging alcoholic. I swore I'd never do those things. I was doing everything that I said I'd never do. Because you can't do it in your own strength. As great as many of you are, you're strong, you're brilliant. You can't do it in your own strength. That morning when he began to preach, and something changed in my life. That preacher, like Brother Michael just did, gave an altar call. I went that day and I gave my heart to Christ. That morning, I went home. I had hair down below my shoulders. There's a picture somewhere of me sitting in the chair. I opened a Bible for the first time in my life. My wife's grandmother prayed for me every morning, prayed for her grandkids to marry men women of God. She said, I believe you could be a preacher someday. I looked at her. You might as well said I was going to be an astronaut. But I know that in the house today, there's some preachers. There's some evangelists. Some young people. Hand of the Lord is on your life. I'm going to dismiss everybody, but you know who I want to come down here? Those. Now, maybe you think, well, I can't go to Moscow. I can't. But maybe you can go to your work. Or maybe you can go across town. Maybe you can go out on Adopt-A-Bot. You just feel like you need to be empowered a little bit. I'm going to pray. I'm going to close the service to let everybody go. But if I'm talking to you, if you sense that, you just say, I want God to use me. Whether that's a calling to be in ministry, if it is, I want to help you. Maybe it's just to be stronger. You know, summer, believe it or not, is going to be coming to an end. Some of your kids are going back to school. You want to do something in your school. I'm going to say this to a dad here today. Your family is struggling because you won't obey God in the little things. And if you'll lift up the standard of God's love and his word and spirit in your home, you'll see a transformation in your house. So I'm going to pray and I'm going to dismiss everyone. But if in your life you feel a nudge from the Lord, you want to go a little farther before this evangelist leaves, I'm going to have him lay his hand on you and pray. I'm going to dismiss everybody. So those of you that are saying, I got to get to the Kentucky Fried Chicken or wherever you go, you can go. But I know there's some people in this house today. You want to go that one more level. I'm going to tell you again how I'm going to do it. I'm going to pray. I'm going to dismiss you. And you're not. Don't be. I didn't say that to be mean or cruel. It's just the way it is. You could go. But for those of you that want You want that touch on your life. While I'm praying, I want you to come down here. He's going to lay his hand on you. And I believe there's going to be an impartation from this life into yours. Are you ready to pray and close? And I'm going to dismiss you. Those of you that are going to go, you're going to go. But those of you that are going to come, you're going to come. You come now if that's you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for the work that you're going to do in the lives, in the hearts of everyone. You've already done something so beautiful and something so great, God. No man could take credit for it. Spirit of the living God, continue in this house. Continue in every life and every person here, Lord. Do it for your glory, I pray. And Lord, even for those who are coming now, I pray that you would move mightily. I pray for some teenagers that will forget about what one another is thinking about and just get up and obey you. God, because you want to take them. Use them to change the world. I ask you, Lord, today. Now bless the people of God in this house in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I love you. God bless you.